that was awesome. That was awesome. I need you all to pray while I'm doing this because I'm in a physically very weakened state. I've had some serious medical issues all this week, and I just ran downstairs, ran back, but it's not flu. So I may not have my usual energy, but we'll try because this talk always gets me excited. And it's called Banners, and I called it Banners for a couple of reasons, as you're going to see as we go through this. But last week, last week we showed a picture of a camp. You probably remember this, and the banners. This isn't a picture good enough to see the banners, but each tribe had a banner. That was their identification. If you go to many synagogues, if you go to many Messianic synagogues, they'll have the tribe's banners on the side of the church building, which is pretty cool. And the tent, of course, and the fence around it, and all the things that were going on, and the priests wearing all their vestments, and all the tents lined up in a certain order. If you saw it from up high, you would notice two things. Number one, it was a beautiful sight in the middle of this wilderness. And number two, you can't really tell from this picture, it was kind of shaped like a cross. And you remember in the book of Numbers, down in 25, last week we did 9 through 12, I think. But in Numbers 25, this king hires Balaam, this pagan priest, to curse the Israelites. And he tries, offering him money. He tries three different ways. And so Balaam goes, and he's a pagan priest. He has a talking donkey. That's what he's most known for. But when he goes up on a mountain overlooking the whole camp, and the king says, okay, now curse him, he says, I can't curse him because this is beautiful. And he says, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your tabernacles, O Israel. I was waiting for that song, but... And so the tribes... And you know the tribes came from the 12 sons of Jacob, right? We're all in that. Except, of course, Joseph, that's not strictly true, because Joseph gives rise to two half-tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And so even though Joseph does all that cool stuff in the book of Genesis in Egypt and does all that cool stuff for his horrible brothers, he doesn't even get to keep his own tribe. I thought that was kind of a bummer. But anyway, so the tribes had their symbols. And that doesn't really mean much to us, because of where we live. But imagine if you were in some foreign country and there were no Americans around and you saw a building with an American flag flying. As an American, you would say, hey, some of my people are there. And it would make you feel like, oh, I should go over there and see who's here. Because this was the identity they had. And it was also a protection for them. Because they were surrounded by their people. The whole camp, of course, was a protection for the sacred things. For the ark, for the sanctuary, for the tent. But within each tribe, there was the protection of being with your own people, so to speak. And so it was very important. Now, there was no prohibition against marrying somebody from another tribe or hanging around with somebody from another tribe. But people mainly kind of kept in their own tribe because of this. And so, these people had come from one man, as you all know. They came from a family, as you all know. and they became a chosen people that when they were delivered from the slavery of Egypt, they had all this beautiful stuff made according to God's rules of how they were going to worship, live, and so forth. So to us, that doesn't really mean much. To them, it meant a lot. It was their identity. And we're talking about this for a reason. So were there people outside of this group, you know, outside of the vineyard, outside of the walls? Yeah. There were millions and millions and millions of dirty Gentiles. All our relatives. All our ancestors. Was there any plan for them? You know, what about these other sheep? You know, Jesus says, I have other sheep you guys don't even know about. I got other sheep. What about them? Or is this beautiful camp just for the Israelites? And we went over this a little bit before Christmas. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner for the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Somebody's going to come from the root of Jesse and stand as a banner for the people. And the Gentiles are going to seek him. Now, did Gentiles care about the stupid camp? No, who cares? I wish these people would just move out of here. Just go curse them so they'll move. Or let's have war on them so they get out of here. I mean, nobody really cared about their silly camp. And nobody really cared about their law that they had. And nobody certainly cared about their rituals. But Gentiles are going to seek somebody that's going to have his origins in this camp. That's why we're here. We're all here because of some on-fire Jewish evangelist interacted with some of our ancestors somewhere. Isn't that amazing? I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. There's going to be a plan for people who are not called by his name. People in the camp were called by his name. People outside the camp were not. But there's going to be a plan for them. All of a sudden, people who weren't looking for him were going to find him. People who really didn't know anything about him, he was going to say, here I am, here I am. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? He's going to call out to people. The people in the camp already saw the Shekinah glory, already had all the stuff, already had the law, already had the tablets, already had the ark, all the sacred vessels. But there's going to be people that aren't going to really know anything. And I'm going to call out to them saying, here I am, because I want to bring them in. And again from Isaiah, and this is why he's my favorite major prophet, he will lift up a banner to the nations from afar. He's going to lift up a banner. Remember, every tribe had a banner. He's going to lift up a banner to the nations from afar. Now, when the Bible talks about nations, what's it talking about? Gentiles. And will whistle to them from the end of the earth. He's going to whistle for them to come. He's going to put up the banner and whistle for them to come. To the nations from afar. And surely they're going to come with speed. Those people in that camp had a clue what this was about. Of course, Isaiah was a long time after the camp. But even Isaiah wouldn't have really known what this meant because he didn't live around Gentiles. He was getting this as an inspiration by the Holy Spirit to write in his book. He wrote 66 chapters. Some prophets, you know, they got 2, 3, 4 chapters. He got 66. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel, gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So this banner is going to be put up to the nations. He's going to whistle for the nations. Here I am, here I am. People who don't know him. And he's going to also assemble the outcasts of Israel, the dispersed of Judah, from all over the world. Where are the Jews? Where were the Jews from 70 AD till most of our lifetimes? Scattered all over the world, the four corners of the world. Now where are a lot of them? Regathered. But they're not under the banner yet, we're going to talk about. It's a banner for the nations. So, let's go to Acts chapter 10. I like this story. You know, Cornelius and Peter, and you know the story. The Spirit falls on the Roman family that's there. Cornelius is a Roman. He's a centurion. He's an important guy. And he has some fellow Romans and his family that are what the Israelis used to call God-fearers. They were Gentiles that worshiped the God of Israel. They were called God-fearers. And Cornelius had some kind of prayer meeting at his house, some kind of home group. And you know the story. The angel comes, says, go call Peter. Peter sees a vision, got to go to Cornelius. So Peter comes and starts preaching about Messiah Jesus. And the Holy Spirit falls on the place. So they went from having sort of an ordinary home group to having a charismatic home group. And people start praying in tongues and dancing around and just being all excited. Because he preached Yeshua, the Messiah, then the Spirit falls, before he's even done. And the circumcised believers say, what in the world is going on here? Why is the Spirit falling on these uncircumcised Gentiles? This is supposed to be for us. What's going on here? So you had covenant people, the circumcised believers, that are now in the new covenant. Peter and his friends, right? And many other believers. Right? Covenant people, circumcised believers, in the new covenant. You have non-covenant people, uncircumcised believers, are also now in the new covenant. These Romans, this Roman family and their little friends, including a military leader. And by the way, of course, the whole land was under Roman occupation. So it's kind of brave for Peter to go over there. You don't generally go to the house of somebody who's oppressing your people. But they realize now that these people are also in the new covenant. Acts 11, Peter tells the story of what happened at Cornelius' house. Because his fellow circumcised believers are mad that he went there. Who knows what kind of food they had? Huh. I hope you didn't have their refreshments. They probably had like shrimp and bacon wraps and who knows what else. Ugh. They probably mixed dairy and meat. You guys probably all defiled yourselves. So these are believers that are still in the law saying to Peter, you shouldn't have gone there. Because they don't get this yet. Okay? That's pretty early on. They don't get this yet. So Peter tells them, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. In other words, these people are uncircumcised, they're unclean, they're not covenant people. But the Holy Spirit fell on them just like he fell on us Pentecost morning in the upper room. No difference. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So now Peter understands, if therefore God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? How can you not take part in this when they got the same gifts that we got when they became believers? Right? They got the same spirit that we got. When they heard these things, they became silent. Then they realized, boy, we've been being really stupid. And they glorified God, saying, then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Now we say, yeah, well, of course. But this was radical thinking. This was crazy thinking. If you were Peter and these guys and his friends, they've been raised in this culture. There's nothing in that culture, nothing in that day-to-day life of yours that says Gentiles are going to be granted repentance to life. Because Gentiles are outside of everything. They're dirty. They're outside the covenant. So all these people in the camp, like we talked about last time, Moses had a heck of a time dealing with all this. He was getting overwhelmed by these people. What a stiff-necked people. Whoa. He was ready to go back to Egypt. He couldn't take it anymore. But yet, in the full kingdom, in the full covenant, Yeshua carries all the people, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, without the weakness that Moses had, without the problems that Moses had. So from one man to a family, to a nation, to a kingdom, it's the body of Messiah. It's the one new man. It's one in Messiah. So now what about this banner thing? Because he's going to raise a banner to the nations. He's going to raise a banner that's going to make people come. He's going to make a banner, and he's going to use it to call people to himself. So what about that banner thing? You know, Jesus says in John 10, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, that they may hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. There's going to be one new man. There's not going to be the tribes over here and the Gentiles over there. And even after the Gentiles become believers, there's not going to be a Jewish church and a Gentile church. There's going to be one body of believers. So what was this banner that was lifted up? It was an instrument of torture and execution. The banner is the cross. When Jesus said, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Remember that? He's talking about what these guys knew from Isaiah, and that we're going to get to the bronze serpent probably next time or the following time. But the banner is going to be lifted up that's going to draw people to themselves, to him. But the banner is this horrible instrument of execution. Isaiah didn't know about crosses, because the Romans weren't there yet. Crosses didn't come in till about 60-something B.C. to the land. They didn't know about crosses. And he wouldn't have known what that meant. But the cross of Yeshua is the banner. This is the banner that unites everybody. This is the banner that, when it's lifted up, draws people to it. This is the banner that, when it's lifted up, can bring the outcasts of Israel and Judah home, can bring crazy Gentiles all over the world to faith in him, can turn them into covenant people. In the Song of Songs, chapter 2, which is one of my top five favorite books, says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. His banner is love. There were banners over the tribes. There's a banner raised for the Gentiles. There's a banner raised to gather people. There's a banner raised for God to say, here I am, here I am. And those that did not seek me were going to find me. There were people sitting around in little towns, and some annoying little Jewish evangelists would come in, start telling them about the Messiah. They didn't know anything about that, and they would come to faith. Because God's calling to them, here I am, here I am, listen to this guy. Listen to this guy. They came to faith, they're filled with the Spirit, just like all those other guys were on the first day. And that banner gives us identity, right? It gives us identity. Some people don't have the banner. Some people don't want the banner. Some people think the banner is just some horrible, crazy stuff. It gives us protection, right? And it gives us the fellowship that we know we're in the one body under the banner. So it's different kind of banner, but the same idea. And what this was leading to was the banner of the cross being lifted up. Don't think of it as a banner. But you might get a better hint of it maybe next week when we do the bronze serpent. Anybody want to add anything?